This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمده ونستعينه ونستهدي ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحابته ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد أيها الإخوة فنسأل الله تعالى أن يغفر لنا ذنوبنا ويكفر عنا سيئاتنا نسأله بعلم نافع ورزق واسع وعليه نتوكل وإليه المصير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
السلام
عليكم. Begin by praising Allah as always. Praise Him. You can't praise Him enough and thank Allah enough for what He's given us of all the bounties. Allah says, وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to count the favors and the bounties of Allah, you will never be able to count them. Whatever situation we're in, actually, whatever situation. The most and we don't know the most dire situations. We live in life of relative luxury, well, real luxury even. People have problems psychologically, physically, despite luxury. Money doesn't buy everything as people claim they do they? In the end, money doesn't buy peace of mind. And those with the largest amounts of money and sums and seeming flashing light kind of life are the ones who are on tranquilizers and drugs and antidepressants and seeing more psychiatrists, and the ones who are living a very simple life, perhaps in war-torn places. They don't have shrinks or people that they see a psychologist to help them with post-traumatic stress disorder, do they?
Yeah.
They don't have that liberty. But believing Allah's there. And that's so counting the favor, and they count the favors of Allah, because Allah gave them life, and Allah gave them eyes, and Allah gave them a morsel of food, Allah gave them the air to breathe with, and they have conviction in Allah and His justice and His judgment in the hereafter, for the life that is everlasting and eternal that's to come. And this life will then seem like a drop in the ocean, a few moments only. So you know, this is the reality when we come with the full picture. Only can be seen with the full picture. If you remove Allah, Allah doesn't go away. If you remove hereafter, hereafter doesn't go away. But you have yourself in a very limited view of life, and you actually have forgotten yourself who you are. Yeah. So forgetting Allah is forgetting who you are, actually. Human being. You become an animal. And they say that now, don't they? They actually say arrogantly, we're animals. Yeah. Our ancestors, the apes, we're just a line of animals. But of course, that gives them a carte blanche certificate to do whatever. No limits. Yeah. There's no hindrances. If you feel like doing it, do it. Yeah. So it has it. And this is Iblis. This is Iblis's ideas. This is Shaitan's ideas. And to mislead the human being, and it is doing it, it will lead to disastrous results in the end, both in this world and the hereafter. We believe that. May Allah SWT keep us guided aright. We ask Allah for useful knowledge and understanding to increase us in iman. That's really what it's for, to bring us closer to Him. And to as increase us in iman and give us sabr and patience and endurance and steadfastness to keep on Sirat al-Mustaqim and not to swerve off it, whatever the challenges and difficulties and trials that are facing us and will face us and continue to face us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us thabat, always steadfastness, istiqamah, that we stay firm, nothing swerves us, and that we are not misguided and deluded by shaitan or by the life of dunya. لا تغرنكم الحياة الدنيا كما قال الله عز وجل ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور. Do not be deceived, all of you, by the life of this world. And do not be deceived about Allah by the deceiver, Shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us, isn't he? How true that is, and if only people could remember that. Our hadith that we began deliberating on is hadith number two. And now we put that as number two, hadith from Sahih Muslim. And this is the long hadith, we call it the hadith of Jibreel. We went through last two sessions we've had on it to do with why it was called the hadith of Jibreel, of course, because it's the coming of Jibreel in the form of a human being. This hadith came in not just Muslim, in other reports from other Sahaba as well. And we talked about hadith coming with different words, hadith being transmitted with not exactly the same words, and not exactly the same order necessarily being mentioned. So this hadith comes in Bukhari as well, and it comes in other reports in Tirmidhi, and we mentioned that it comes in Tirmidhi as authentic, Abu Dawood, in Ibn Hibban, and from various companions, as we said last time, and Nasa'i, Sahih Ibn Khuzaymah as well. Ibn Khuzaymah, who was the teacher of Ibn Hibban, in his compilation of hadith, in Ahmad, in his Musnad. We mentioned all those things last time. It's various reports we mentioned, adding to the others for clarification. Those kind of things I went through in the first session. And we looked also at the idea of Jibreel coming, the context of what was happening when this scenario is being painted by the various Sahaba. Some added to it, some mentioned less to it. And that's all fine as long as the hadith and the chain is authentic, which it is in the reports that we discussed. We talked about also the issue of the hands of Jibreel being put on the thighs of the Prophet ﷺ. Last time that was a fiqh issue that we looked at, whether that was awra or not, etc. So I want to move on now to aspects of what the hadith was discussing. If you remember, when we took the hadith that An-Nawawi mentions in his 40 hadith, he doesn't give the full chain with the hadith and the full hadith. He just gives you the words from when Ibn Umar is reporting from his father, Umar bin Khattab. But Ibn Umar was doing it in a context. Because the full hadith tells you what was happening. If you remember, what was the issue when Ibn Umar reports this hadith? Remember? What was the issue? Somebody came to Ibn Umar about a particular issue. And then he quoted this hadith. The issue was of Qadr. Qadr. Yeah? Because two of the Tabi'een who were coming and they happened to meet Ibn Umar when they came to the Haram at the Kaaba from the Sahaba, they asked him, said somebody who was Ma'bad al-Juhri was saying in their area that Qadr, is that which Allah doesn't know already what's going to happen, or good or bad, except when it happens. That's what Ma'bad al-Juhni was saying. He was Muslim. Yeah. So that's the context. They came to check with him. This is the kind of thing he's spreading. They had doubts about it, these two Tabi'een, and they came to ask Ibn Umar. So then he said, he tell him he's not from amongst, I have nothing to do with him. Yeah. And he gives him a big warning, if you remember the rest of the hadith. And then he quotes, my father said, one day while we were sitting in the masjid, this happened, blah, blah, blah. And it goes on. And in that is iman bil qadr, khayrihi wa sharri, is to believe in the qadr. Yeah, in the qadr. And we'll come to explain some of that later. The first thing being asked in this particular hadith, a narration of Ibn Umar from Umar bin Khattab, the Prophet asks about Islam first. Akhbirni an al-Islam. Faqala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-Islam an tashhad an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah wa tuqim as-salah wa tu'ti az-zakah. وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا. So the message of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Islam is that you bear witness that there is no God but Allah, that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, that you establish the salah and that you pay the zakah and that you fast Ramadan and that you do the Hajj of the house if you are able, to have the ability to get to it, ilayhi sabila. If you're able to do it, in other words, the Hajj. And he said, Qala sadaqt, you have spoken rightly. So of course this was Jibreel who's saying that. Fa'ajibna lahu yas'aluhu wa yusaddiqu. We found it very strange that he's asking and then he's saying, you've spoken truthfully. And I mentioned this to you before. So at this stage, they don't know. They're wondering, what's this man doing? Who do you think he is? Only afterwards they find out. Then they understand why it was Jibreel who was teaching, actually. Through asking questions to the Prophet, he is teaching the rest who were gathered. So then, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِيمَانِ. Then he said, to tell me about Iman. And in some hadith, it mentions, Abu Hurairah, he mentions Iman first. As Jibreel saying, tell me about Iman. So it doesn't really matter whether some Sahabi say he said, tell me about Iman first or tell me about Islam first. There was no, it's not Salah that you're reporting on, that, Ruku' becomes before Sujood and the Sahabi got it mixed up and said Sujood before Ruku'. We're not talking about that, are we? We're talking about a set of things the Prophet was asked and he talked about, so you could mention them in any order. So that's what's happening here. You don't say, oh well, why did he say it first and why did he say that second? It's not that kind of issue. Hence the Sahaba knew that, so they're reporting it like that. And in regards to Iman, of course, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَن تُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَتُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. And this was the point he was trying to get to. Ibn Umar, out of all the hadith, this is where he was getting to. Iman is to believe in Allah, the angels, his angels, his books, his messengers, and the last day, and to believe, and that you believe in the Qadr, the good of it and the bad of it. Qadr. What do we mean by Qadr? Some people say predestination or fate. Fate is probably better. And this is a topic that has big issues. It had big issues with some believers as well, and hence they went into error. Ma'bud al-Juhani is one of them. And in line with him, some came who were later known as by the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the bulk of the Muslim Ummah. These people with that idea, they're not a group necessarily. They call Qadriya. Anybody who has those ideas comes under the stamp of Qadriya. Not Qadriya, by the way, this is Qadriya. There's a difference. Imam Nawawi says there's two ways of saying this. You can say Al-Qadr or Al-Qadr. Both are linguistically correct. Have the sukoon on the dal or on the ra. Al-Qadr or Al-Qadr. Same meaning, language-wise in Arabic, they're both acceptable. Qadriya not Qadiriyya. Yeah? Because Qadiriyya is a tariqah. Qadiriyya, and nothing to do with Qadr, it's a tariqah, a way of going close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which the Qadiri, they say, are the ones who were the followers of Abdul Qadir Jilani. Abdul Qadir Jilani, a famous great Sufi. Yeah? Their way is the Qadiriyya tariqah. So it's a tariqah, a way their teacher taught them of doing various things, yeah, from ibadat and amal to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? Don't get it mixed up. This is Qadiriyya. Why were they called Qadiriyya? Qadiriyya themselves, as Imam al Haramain Juwayni, Imam, who's the teacher of Abu Hamid al Ghazali, the famous Al-Ghazali. Imam Juwayni said, Qadiriyya say, we are not Qadiriyya. Yeah? You are Qadiriyya, because you believe in the Qadr. We don't believe in the Qadr of Allah. So they say, we are not Qadiriyya. But Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah call them Qadiriyya. Why? As Imam Juwayni says, because Imam Juwayni says, they attributed Qadr, fate, to themselves. So, yeah, they attributed shar and evil to themselves. What did they mean? What did they mean by that? Because they said, as this Ma'bud al-Juhayni said to those two who came to talk to Ibn Umar, they said, deeds are not already known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are known, yeah, unufun. Once they happen, yeah, they're known. Then Allah knows. Then Allah knows. Because they thought the idea is that Allah's making it happen, making them do something, yeah? Which is a Jabbariyya. Yeah, there were those who were called Jabbariyya. They believe that Allah does make everything happen by force. We don't have any choice. So when they went to the other extreme, Jabbariyya are those who say Allah makes us, we are majboor. Yeah, we have no choice. We are just like robots walking around, made to do things. Well, if that was the case, we'd have nothing to answer to. Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah say that. We'd have nothing to answer for. So they went to the other extreme. Qadiriyya, in trying to avoid that extreme, rejected the whole of Qadr completely and said, no. Qadr means what we do it, and then Allah finds out. Allah finds out. What they really had an issue with, and Christian, majority of Christendom have the same issue, even till this day, majority of Christendom of this day, the modern age, are Qadiriyya. Majority of Christendom are Qadiriyya. They don't believe in this fate that Allah, because they have a problem with evil. They're saying, oh, so that's why some of Qadiriyya, they went further. Right? Not only did they say that things happen and Allah knows after that, they also, some of them said that Allah makes the good happen and evil, yeah, is coming from somewhere else. Evil doesn't, Allah doesn't make it happen, because they couldn't understand the issue of evil. So they almost made a double-headed God. Yeah, because if you're saying that, you mean there's somebody else headlogs with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And say, therefore, even Rajab, yeah, and others, and Imam Nawawi especially, he said that from the latter day Qadiriyya, they said, Al Khayr min Allah, all good is from Allah, Ashar min Ghayri, they don't say who, but evil is from someone else. So, as Imam Nawawi says, they are like the Majus of our Ummah, Qadiriyya. Why do you say Majus? Zoroastrians. Because Zoroastrians believed in a two-godded idea, the God of good and the God of evil. Yeah? This is Zoroastrianism. So they're like the Majus. And in fact, Imam Nawawi mentions a hadith in his sharh of this, Nawawi's own Arba'een. Very brief it is. He just makes a few comments. But in that, he also mentions it as hadith. He says that the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Qadariya Majus hadhi ummah. Qadariya, to come, those who have this idea, are the Majus of this ummah. This hadith is not authentic to the Prophet ﷺ. But the idea is what Imam Nawawi is saying is the correct idea. So, the reality is, when we say Qadr briefly for today, belief in Qadr, one is aspect of Qadr is to do with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ilmullah. Anyone who says that the knowledge of Allah is incomplete, he doesn't know something, this is kufr. You understand? He's no God anymore. He's not God anymore. God, by definition, knows everything. Yeah? Because he's outside time. Nobody can limit the knowledge of Allah, otherwise he's not Allah. Yeah? You'll go further than that. It's a slippery slope. Then you'll have people who say, well, I know something Allah doesn't know. Isn't it? Imagine that. Because that's where it can lead to. If you limit Allah, then the knowledge must be somewhere. So someone else knows it. So someone else knows something Allah doesn't know. This is kufr. So one aspect of it is the knowledge of Allah. Majority of the ummah of the believers, even some qadr, they don't have a problem with this. Some qadriya don't have a problem with this either. Some qadriya. The problem they have is from the af'al. Who makes things happen? We make a choice. I have a choice. I decide I would like to travel today to the North Pole. Is it in my ability only to get there? Who makes it happen? Allah makes it happen. Allah is the one who creates that action. Okay? I want to go and kill somebody. Now, this is where the problem is. Kill somebody. Okay, so I made the intention, but do I have the ability totally left to myself to stop? Things can hinder me in the way Allah can make things happen for that not to happen. But Allah can also allow that to happen. He's making it happen. So Allah makes good and evil. Anything we cannot do without the ability of Allah. Allah has power over all things. Every limb and every sinew, every cell in our body, every atom, less than an atom is controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is it not? To remove his power from that is a problem. So where they had a problem is not with doing the doing of good deeds, they have a problem when evil is being done. They say, oh no, God, why is God allowing evil to happen?
Because we have free will.
Because we are making the choice, and this is dunya. This is not paradise. It's a place of test. It's a place of test. Allah is all powerful, controls absolutely everything. And I say in the end, yeah, the choice you're making, God's not forcing you to do the evil. Yeah. But if he makes the means of that to be fulfilled, yeah, to be fulfilled, you've made a choice at every step for it to be fulfilled. You could have turned back. He's not forcing you to do it. He's not forcing you. Even though he makes it happen, it can't happen without. He's in every step of the way, he's not forcing you to do it. You can turn back any time and stop yourself. Even to the verge of where you're about to shoot, you can stop. Your choice. You understand? There's a fine line. Jabari, the one who says, no, I was forced to do it. God made me do it. Qadri, no, I'm just doing everything. How are you giving yourself so much power that you're doing everything? Yeah. You're making the choices every second of the way, but you can stop if you wish. Yeah. There, Allah's not forcing you to stop. You can stop. So it is that Allah makes everything, the doings, Allah controls everything. Allah controls everything. We actually, and when we come to this, actually the reality is, isn't it, that our area of choice in all our life, I always say, is very limited. Do we have a choice of who we're born to? Do we have a choice of how we look? Do we have a choice which time we came in? Which country we're born in? We don't even have a choice when I go out on the road whether I'm going to hit a traffic jam or not. Or whether do I have a choice? I get stuck. Yeah. I can't go from one place to the next without I don't know what obstacles are going to come in my. Yeah. So much we have no choice over. Yeah. But and all those things we have no choice over, we will never be questioned about. That's not where the judgment lies. Judgment lies in the choices that we make in that small area that we've been given. And that is something very only given to human beings, subhanAllah. That is the part of humanity that is under trial. The human being is that essence that is under trial, where therefore nothing else can be under trial because that nature of the human being to make a conscious choice and decision is only with the human being. Yeah. So we don't need to worry. Or why is, if God already knows, how often you hear this, atheist, or one inclined towards atheism, or a agnostic, if God knows everything that's going to happen, then why are we here? Okay? Because this person's thinking, so if I'm God, I'm playing chess on a board. I already know who's going to win. So why am I playing the game? Number one, you're not God. You've just put yourself in the position of God. How can you even... Because that's a supposition. First supposition you've made is, if I was God, then why would I be doing it? Well, you're not God. You can't even make such a supposition. Creator, creature. You don't have the capacity even to think beyond. Can't even understand yourself. Number two, supposition two, it's a chess game. That's your supposition again from your limited human mind. See? How the supposition second leads to, it's a waste of time. You've just made all the suppositions and put yourself in a position of God, which is impossible to do. Impossible to do. Allah doesn't want you to delve into that kind of thing. He's decided and you're there. You have a choice to stand up or sit down, do good or do bad. That's all you need to know. Get on with it. If you want to ask, I say, then ask Allah on the Day of Judgment. For sure you're going to be gathered there. Ask Him then. Ask Him then. Yeah. Why are you just going around in circles here, putting yourself in the position of God and you have no? So don't reduce it to a chess game, and don't. Him knowing doesn't change the fact that you are a choice. And that's the other way. Isn't it? God knows doesn't mean to say you're being made to do it. His knowledge, yeah, doesn't change the fact that I have a choice. Who's demonstrating that? You're demonstrating it yourself. Where's my evidence for that? You. Because you're saying, I deny God. Hang on. You're making that choice. Yeah. So Him knowing hasn't forced you to do that. You're still making that choice. And I know He knows, and I'm saying I believe in Him. So look at the difference. Yeah. See the argument? This is how you deal with these people. They'll try and slip around because Shaitan got them in this, vicious cycle of rejection. To slip out this way, slip out that way. But actually, there's no slipping away. Pin people down and make them realize that actually they're just playing a slippery game because they don't want to follow God. That's the reality. Yeah. And this is all from Iblis. Qadr can never really be understood fully by a human being, as God can't be understood by a creature. Can we? We only know of Allah that which He tells us. Otherwise, we're just guessing and surmising, are we not? And Qadr is His area, His decree, not in our area. Yeah. We don't even have power to do anything. And we're trying to try and understand Qadr. So Qadr is quite simple. For those who want to complicate it, they complicate it with other idiotic things. That's the reality of Qadr. Qadariya. Yeah, I remember. Remember when the tsunami happened? I remember some Christian priests coming out with comments of doubt in God. Remember? It was in the news. I don't understand how God would make that happen or allow this to happen. Priests were saying that. Yeah. So if priests, the leaders of the Christian community, are showing doubt in God, what the followers going to be like, man? What the followers going to be like? They suddenly forgot that this is a place of tribulation where disasters have always happened. It's not the first disaster, it won't be the last. Because the world and the way Allah SWT has made it is where storms are going to come, tsunamis are going to come, yeah, hurricanes are going to come. All this is going to happen, and this is even natural disasters before we talk about human beings causing annihilation, because this is a place of trial and test. This is not Jannah. Yeah? I always say people want Jannah now. Yeah, they want the cake and they want to eat it straight away, yeah, without doing anything. They want paradise now. But paradise is awaiting some other place, not in this place. This is a place of trial and tribulation. So, briefly, that is something to do with the issue of Qadr. Now, this issue of Iman and Islam is a big issue in itself. In definitions. Majority of ulama said that Iman is to do with beliefs and Islam is more to do with actions and behavior, what we do. Where did they get that from? Well, the hadith gives that idea anyway, doesn't it? This hadith, because he said, "Akhbirni an Islam, tell me about Islam." Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Al-Islam an tashhada an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." وَتُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَتُؤْتِي الزَّكَاةِ. Yeah? That you declare that there is no God but Allah, that Muhammad is the messenger, and you perform the salah, and that you give the zakah, and that وَتَصُومَ Ramadan, you fast in Ramadan. These are all doings, isn't it? Yeah? وَتَحُجَّ الْبَيْتِ, and you do perform the hajj, and إِسْتَطَعْتَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, that if you have the ability to perform it. Yeah? So you can see why they got this idea from. That's one aspect. So, overall, you could, if Islam and Iman come together, you can put it like that generally. Yeah? Ibn Rajab has explained it quite nicely. Ibn Rajab in his sharh of An-Nawawi Arba'in. He said, Iman and Islam are such terms that actually are interchangeable. Iman also includes Islam, and Islam can be include Iman when they come on their own. When we say Islam, we're talking about Iman and behavior and action and everything, are we not? Yeah. Same with Iman, he says. When we say Iman, comes on its own. These are terms, he said, which are a bit like the term faqir and miskeen. So it gives a good example. I'll come back to why. He said when Iman and Islam come together in the same phrase and same hadith or same place, now we differentiate between the two. Now we can say, here, Iman, we're talking about belief in Allah, His angels, we're talking about the belief aspect. And Islam's talking about the af'al, the actions. Yeah? The af'al. But when they come on their own, each one covers the other. Each one covers the other. And he gave the example of these two words used in the Sharia. This is from the Sharia. This is ma'na. Shar'i, not lughawi. Not just you look in the dictionary and you'll find the answer to that.
Allah and His Messenger have explained this. Yeah? What Ibn Rajab is explaining. Okay? So shar'i ma'na we take. Not just language and how it was with the Arabs in the Jahil didn't just understand this when Iman and Islam was mentioned. It was explained by Allah and His Messenger. Okay? So why did He mention this? For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ as he says, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. When the Quran talks about the zakah, who is it to be spent on? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts that sadaqat, these collection of zakah, is only to be spent on, he says, lil fuqara'i wal masakin. And he carries on with the rest of the categories. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used fuqara and masakin, one after the other. One means poor and the other means needy. Both are poor. But if you come to other places in the Quran and Hadith, either fuqara will be used or miskeen will be used and one will cover the other. Same as this. So he used this example, which is quite good. For example, so when it is mentioned, when they are mentioned together, there's a reason why they're both being mentioned. Because miskeen actually is not the same as fuqara. When they come together, just like when Iman and Islam come together, we differentiate between the two. When they come on their own, both cover each other. So same here. Fuqara would include the miskeen. Miskeen would include the fuqara if it came on its own. But when they come together, there's a difference between them. And that is explained in a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which is authentic, and it is in Bukhari Muslim. Prophet ﷺ, he said, لَيْسَ الْمِسْكِينَ الَّذِي يَطُوفُ عَلَى النَّاسِ فَتَرُدُّهُ اللُّقْمَ وَاللُّقْمَةَ. The miskeen is not the one going around asking people, yeah, and they gave him a morsel or two morsels of food, وَالتَّمَرْ أَوْ تَمْرَتَانْ تَمْرَتُ أَوْ تَمْرَتَانْ, or a date or a couple of dates. That's not a miskeen. That's not a miskeen. In other words, he's saying that can be a faqir, but it's not miskeen. So he said, المسكين الذي لا يجد غنى يغنيه ولا يفتن به ولا يفتن له فيتصدق عليه ولا يسأل الناس شيئا. Who is a miskeen? The Prophet ﷺ, a miskeen is the one who they don't have enough to sustain their expenditure and their family. They're poor. They don't have enough. Yet people don't know about them. They don't know about them. Fakir, everybody knows about him. He's out going around asking. So he said, miskeen, people don't know about them. And hence they don't spend on them. They don't give them a sadaqah. But they are straitened in their means. They are in difficulty. Yeah? And he says, وَلَا يَسْأَلُ النَّاسَ شَيْئًا. And they don't ask people of it for anything. But they are miskeen. In other words, that is not fuqara, that is miskeen. So when they come together, now we understand what this miskeen is. It's not quite the same. Yeah? So Ibn Rajab used a very good example actually, to explain the difference between fuqara, as some people asked me in the past, what's the difference between fuqara and masakin? That's the difference. Yet if they come on their own, the term, yeah, one will include the other. Similarly here. So that's interestingly. In one hadith, which is in Bukhari, and it's hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. In this hadith, the Prophet is visited by a delegation from Abdul Qais, a tribe of believers. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we've come to you from a long way in our area, and in between you and us, there are the kuffar of Mudr, meaning they're they say, وَبَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكَ هَذَا الْحَيْدْ مِنْ كُفَّارُ مُدَرْ. Yeah? Meaning they're dangerous people, they're kuffar between your area and our area. And say, we only come to you at the time of the sacred months when there's no fighting, because they're afraid of them killing them. So give us advice of good things we can do, and we can tell out those who've left behind, which will take us to Jannah. So Prophet gave them some advice here. Okay, and in part of the hadith, he tells them to have iman in Allah alone. Then he says, "Qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hal tadruna mal iman billahi wahda? Do you know what iman in Allah the One is?" Qalu Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. They said, "Surely Allah and His Messenger know best." So he's asking them rhetorically, "Do you know what iman in Allah alone is?" You know what he says then, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He says, what is this iman? He says, shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa anna muhammadan rasulullah wa iqamu salah wa ita'u zakah wa sawmu ramadan wa tu'tul khums min al ghanam. You notice what he said about iman here? He said the same answer he gave for Islam in the Jibreel Hadith. Follow me? That proves what Ibn Rajab was saying. Both terms are interchangeable. When here, he doesn't mention anything about Islam in this Hadith. He just talks about Iman because it came on its own. So now you can use it interchangeably. It covers both. Follow me? So that's an evidence from Bukhari. From Imam Bukhari, Hadith of Ibn Abbas. So you see him now actually giving the definition. So people got, because debates, people got stuck with definition, or is that it limiting? But actually the best answer is Ibn Rajab's answer. And this Hadith is to help that answer, where those who say, no, Iman is only that. Well, no, Prophet is telling you something else. But this also helps us further. This Hadith of Ibn Abbas, which mentions Iman as actually shahada, declaring La ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah, and praying and fasting and giving the zakat, yeah, it takes us to another level where it helps us. And that is Iman. The vast majority of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah said Iman is qawlun wa fi'lun. And when they said qawl, they mean that's the qalb wal lisan. Qawl doesn't mean just lisan, without the heart. Confirmation in the heart, spoken by the tongue, and good deeds. That is Iman. This is vast. Jumhur took this opinion. Malikiyya, Shafi'iyya, Hanabila, others, majority, as Imam Shafi'i said, there is their ijma on this from the Sahaba and the Salaf. This is what they believe. Okay? Now, however, Hanafiya and Abu Hanifa and Imam Tahawi, the famous Imam Tahawi, they went down. This is technical. Technical just to do with terminology. Some people made it bigger than that, but actually it's to do with terminology. Because Abu Hanifa and Tahawi and Hafiya said, Iman is that which is, some said, just in the heart, and others said heart and the tongue. Men reason, they're different with, they're saying actions are not part of Iman. Actions are not part of Iman. They're going by the hadith of Jibreel. Yeah? If you were to take the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, which I just mentioned to you, they've been proved wrong straight away, because what's the Prophet saying there? It is to say the he's mentioning it like Islam. Yeah, so they've been disproven straight away. Okay? But what they see as Iman is belief in the articles of faith. I believe Allah, His messengers, His books, blah, blah, blah. I believe it and I'm saying it. That's it. You have Iman. You are a mu'min. You are a mu'min. You have Iman. These say, no. Iman is more than just utterance. They say, Iman actually goes up and down. If you do good deeds, it affects your Iman. It increases your Iman. And if you do bad deeds, it decreases you in Iman. They say, no. Doing good deeds or bad deeds makes no difference to the fact that you have belief in Allah, His angels, His books, Yawm al-Akhir al-Qadr. They're not saying nothing's affected. You know how what they say? They introduce another term. Taqwa. So I told you it was technical. They're all saying the same thing actually, although this is the better position. They say, no, it's not Iman going up and down. It is taqwa which is going up and down. Salam. Yeah? You follow me? It is taqwa that is going up and down. Iman doesn't go up and down, the Hanafiya and Tahawi are saying. Yeah? So Iman... Sorry, that's been recorded, Uncle. If you sit on that chair that way. So they say that Iman's not going up and taqwa is going up and down. Alright. So these, the majority, then come with their evidences. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah An-Nahl, إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون الذين يقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون أولئك هم المؤمنون حقا. Allah SWT is saying, believers are only those who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts feel a tremor and shake. And when the ayat, the verses, his verses, Allah's verses, are being recited, it increases them in iman. Zadatuhum imana, increases them in iman, and they are utterly dependent on their Lord. Who are they? They are those who establish the salah. They spend from what that which, they spend from that which we have given them. They are the ones who are truly mu'min. Ulaika humul mu'minuna haqqa. How is this evidence against that position? Allah is saying, believers are only those, using the word mu'min, the ones who really have iman, that when the ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being recited increases them in iman. So iman is going up and down, isn't it? When they say, no, it's not, well, they're not right, because the Quran is saying it. Increases them in iman. And then, notice the verse mentioned, they establish salah, they spend from that which is doing things. Then Allah says, they are truly the believers, mu'min, haqqa. Again, linking behavior, which is qawl and amal. Yeah, qawl and amal with iman. Not separating it. Not separating it. Further, the Prophet ﷺ, as you know, in the famous hadith in Bukhari Muslim, and the Muslim version, the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Iman bid'un wa sab'un, aw bid'un wa sittuna shu'ba. Afdaluha aw a'laha shahadat la ilaha illallah. Wa adnaha imatatul adha anit tariq. Wal haya min al-Iman. Shu'batu min al-Iman. In this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is saying that Iman has more than 70, more than 60 branches. The highest of which is Qawl La ilaha illallah. But he didn't stop there. He doesn't stop there. As Prophet ﷺ defining Iman. And the least of it is removing something harmful from the road. Doing action. Yeah. And then he said, modesty, haya, is one of the branches of Iman. Who's that an evidence for? This lot. Yeah? To say that, look, he's describing Iman having all these aspects to it, not just saying or just in the heart. Yeah? It is more than that. So there are other evidences and things that are used as well. To go further, I tell you, the only way is technical. They get round it by saying it's taqwa. So they're not saying that Hanafiya and Tahawi, Abu Hanifa, Imam Tahawi, are not saying that Iman is limited to the heart and tongue and then you can do whatever you want. They're not saying that. They're saying that taqwa will be affected. You're not a good Muslim when you're doing all those bad things, but Iman stays the same. So they're using technical term and adding taqwa with it. Taqwa is going up and down. Yeah? That's how they get around it. The reality, best way to understand it, rather than really the way I understood it after learning it over the years, of my conclusion was that Iman has two kinds of Iman. There's a quantitative Iman, which is the Hanafi idea of Iman, meaning I believe in Allah, His books, His angels, yeah, Yawm al-Akhir, Qadr, yeah, the messengers. That is a quantitative aspect of Iman. But there is a qualitative aspect of Iman. That is the feeling, the quality of Iman, which you can call taqwa, you can call it Iman as well, without going to the word taqwa, which goes up and down, and it is affected by doing good deeds, which increase you in Iman, and bad deeds, which reduce you in Iman. So, quantitative and qualitative. You don't have to get stuck with one aspect of Iman. Iman has within itself that. That's how those ayats and ahadith are understood, and why the majority jumhur of Maliki, Shafi'i, Ahnabila went with this idea of al-Iman is qawlun wa amal. Oh, tasdeeq fil qalb wal lisan. Well, amal, amal as-salih. That is what Iman is about. That's the way of understanding it. I'm running out of time. I'm going to look at some other aspects of it later. But to finish with today, Shafi'iyya and Imam Shafi'i went further, as is explained also and justified by the likes of Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, rahimahumullah. Shafi'i is a position on saying, I am a believer. Imam Shafi'i and the Shafi'i says, we don't say, ana mu'min. We say, ana mu'min, what? Hanafiya criticize them. They say, ana mu'min, insha'Allah. They never say, ana mu'min. If you are a believer, they will never say, I am a believer. They'll say, I am a believer, insha'Allah. So Hanafiya say, these people don't even know whether they're a believer or not. He has to say, insha'Allah. That's not the reason they're saying it, but I can understand where Hanafiya are coming from. So the justification, Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, the Imam Ghazali, justifies, and this is how he briefly explained it. He says, why do we say this? He says, one, we say inshallah because we don't want to be boasting by saying I'm a believer. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Do not think yourselves, announce yourself as, think yourselves as pure. Yeah? But actually that's a misapplication of the ayah, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. All you're saying is, I'm a believer. You're not saying, I am great, and I am such and such, and I am pure, and I'm going to end it. You're not saying any of that. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. It's a misapplication, I believe, of the ayah, of somebody saying, I'm a believer. Don't have to say, inshallah. Second evidence he uses, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, where is it? Just 2 seconds. We'll finish with that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, I haven't got it in front of me now, that in Surah Al-Kahf, that don't say anything that you will do tomorrow. Yeah, أنا فاعلٌ غدا إلا أن يشاء الله. Except that you add with it, Allah willing. Allah willing. So he uses that as an evidence to say أنا مؤمن inshallah. But I'm afraid that's not an application of that. Because when I'm going to do something, it's doing something in the future. Of course you say inshallah because you don't know what the future holds. But when I say أنا مؤمن, I am a believer, it's not about the future. You're saying, I am now. I am a believer. So that ayah that he uses is not, in my opinion, and the opinion of the majority, it is not an application of that. The other reason he gives, Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, he says, well, we don't know in the deeper recesses of our heart, perhaps, that there is an element of hypocrisy hidden, and we're not real believers. So we just cover it by saying, Ana mu'min insha'Allah. I reject that as well. Actually, isn't it true? The munafiq, we don't know who they are, but the munafiq knows that they're a hypocrite, are they not? Munafiq, do they not know they're a hypocrite? Mm-hmm. Of course they do. We don't know if they do, because we can't see inside their heart, but they know in their heart they are hypocrites. If they didn't know, we don't. Then how can they say that they're a hypocrite? So we don't need to fall into this dubiousness of "Ana mu'min, I better say inshallah in case I'm a hypocrite." I know by Allah I am not a hypocrite. I really believe in Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see, so this is how you counter the arguments, I believe, of Abu Hamid al-Ghazali in Shafi'iyah. I think they went too far the other way of precaution and caution of not even saying, are you a believer? Yes, I'm a believer. No, you can't say yes, I'm a believer. You have to say yes, I'm a believer, inshallah.
What do the
Hanafis? I'm a believer. Not just the Hanafis, Malikiyah and Hanabila, all of them. Yeah. Just the Shafi'iyah went more for that. It's not a matter of Hanafis being correct. We just showed that Hanafis in this position that we've been covering, they're in the minority and they're in a weak position. The majority position from what we've been covering is with the majority of them, the rest of them. But this is something to do with Shafi'iyah, which is specific to them. We will carry on, inshallah, next time with this issue. I want to also mention about Iman and what affects Iman, how does it affect it? Because I had various groups of people who have a different opinion, those who have the same opinion as this of what Iman is, but they have consequences to do with doing sin. And those who had other opinions on what Iman is. And we'll also look at the issue of committing a major sin, specifically those who leave Salah, for example, and the difference of opinion that existed from the Sahaba time till this day on how those people were viewed in the field of Islam. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.